not here. I'm going to teach in the sanctuary. And what I'm going to teach, I really want all the young people to hear, and your parents. So all the kids, if you're in the Joneses class up, that'd be the Joneses class, the Prices class, and Preacher's Teen class. I want you to come down front. All the young people, fill in these first. Brother Jerry, you can stay right there where you are, okay? You ain't got to move, but the rest of you young folk, come on in. And be turning in your Bible to Ephesians chapter number 6. Ephesians chapter number 6. Are you glad you're in the house of the Lord?
Yeah.
Amen. I'm glad to be here. I appreciate the Lord letting us be here today, and excited. Now, what are you two boys doing on the girls' row? Y'all got to come sit up here with the fellers. All right. John and Jesse hanging out with the ladies. Amen. Ladies, men. Thank you. Much better. All right, Ephesians 6. We'll teach here for just a little while. Begin reading in verse number 1. The Bible said, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." Now, this morning, I hadn't intended on teaching until yesterday, when Brother Tim texted me and told me that he's going to have to be out of town. And he asked me, just go ahead and be ready, fill in. And immediately, Brother Chris, the Lord took my mind to this passage of Scripture on teaching this morning. And I'm kind of excited about it. I don't feel like maybe, Brother Gerald, I'm as prepared as I'd like to be to do so. But it is exciting to me to kind of take another step in our ministry here and convey some of my burden. My burden as a pastor to you parents, listen, my burden is for these young people. It's for your children. I want to see them turn out to live for God. I want to see them be saved. I want to see them be sold out. I want to see them be separated. I want to see them be soul winners. I want to see them, Brother Will, turn out to do something for God. I don't believe that we have to turn a generation out that sows their wild oats, lives like the devil, and carries on in great wickedness, and then come back when they're 40 and 50 years old to get serious for God. You young people, and I've told the teenagers over and over and over this year, you can live for God, and your life can count for God, even at a very young age. And so I want to try to communicate that, but I want to say this morning, the church is no replacement for our families. And we're just an extension of what you're doing at home. And just because you drop your children into these pews here at this church, as great as Calvary is, and as fabulous of a preacher as you have today, is not going to change their lives, all right? It's going to take your home life being in line with the Word of God. And we want to focus in on that this morning. And I'll say some things you'll like. I'll say some things this morning you won't like. The kids will love me and hate me. The parents will love me and hate me, all in the same 30 minutes. But I want you to hang with me this morning. This is important. And I want to teach this morning these verses we've read. I guess if we was going to have any portion of Scripture on parenting and on the child and parent relationships, I guess there'd be no greater passage, more clear passage in all the Word of God than the verses we've read this morning. You could take these verses and you could know how to have your family in line with God and what God has said. And so I want to teach this morning on the simple subject. It's foundational stuff. It ain't deep, but just simply on the child-parent relationship. The child-parent relationship. If you're here this morning and you're breathing, that means somewhere you had a parent. All right? Nobody crawled out of the mud hole somewhere. Everybody had a father and a mother. That's how we've gotten here. And so we want to deal with that relationship today. Let me make some preliminary remarks this morning. Number one, children are an heritage of the Lord. Psalm 127 and verse number 3 said, "Lo, children are the heritage of the Lord." And we believe that this morning, that God is the one that gives us these precious young lives to raise, and we'll see and have even read already this morning, to raise them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And so they are God's gift to you and I. They're God's heritage to you and I. And God entrusts men and women with precious young lives to mold into shape. Let me say this, children are not only an heritage of the Lord, but children are a, if I can put it this way, a responsibility for the Lord. Proverbs 22:6, one of my favorite parenting verses in the Word of God, said, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." And I'm not out to make any enemies today. Some believe that's a principle. Others believe it's a promise. I believe it's a promise from God. I hang on to that promise in raising my own children. I understand as they get older and as they reach their adult years, they very well can make a conscious, willful choice to go a different route than what the Word of God instructs them to do. And they must get saved, and there's personal accountability to God. But I do believe that we can raise our children and fulfill a responsibility and turn them out for God, and watch their lives count and mean something for the Lord. Let me say this morning, not only are they a heritage of the Lord, responsibility for the Lord, but I believe children are a treasure from the Lord. If you have children, that is a treasure. You ought to count that to be more than $1 million this morning. Amen. The Bible talks about the worth of a soul, and you begin to think about the value God places on a soul and the fact that God would give us fathers and mothers children to raise. That is a treasure from the Lord. So many times in our society, in the days we live, you hear people talk about their kids like they're trash. Kids are not trash, they're treasure. Amen. Kids are not trash, they're treasure. I can remember, and we're just now beginning to enter the teen years with our older ones, and I can remember when ours was just babies, and people would walk by and they'd say, "Man, what a beautiful baby, but just wait, the teen years are coming." And what they're saying is they had a very little value on their children that were older. And one thing I've learned is that the older they get, the more treasured they become, and the more valuable that they really are to your home and your family and what God's trying to do. Now, let me say this morning. These things I've already mentioned, but a few things I want to say this morning about the child-parent relationship or about the home. Understand this, that we believe in the Christian home. We believe in being biblical in our home life. The child-parent relationship must be grounded and founded upon the Word of God. If your home's not right, it's going to affect the church. And if the church is not right, it's going to affect society. And as goes the home, we could say this morning, as goes the home, so goes Calvary Baptist Tabernacle, and so goes Newport, and so goes our nation. One of the reasons our nation is in the mess that it's in today is because so many homes are in the mess that they're in. We've got divorce, we've got all sorts of issues that are creeping up in our generation that have come against the home. I want to make this statement this morning. Not even Christian homes are exempt from the pressures and troubles of life. There are issues you're going to face in raising children. It may start out in their toddler years. I can remember when we had our firstborn, Tori, and you know your firstborn's the guinea pig, and you're trying everything out on your firstborn, and it's amazing the firstborn even makes it past 5 years old, and you got to work through them things. There are things that we didn't have a clue. Me and my wife didn't have a clue as to what we was doing, and it's just trial and error. You try this, you try that, and you work your way through the pressures and the problems of life. That's just true today when my daughter's 14 and coming into teenage years as it was back then. And so you're going to have pressures and troubles. You're going to have issues. You're going to have social issues. You're going to have all sorts of troubles and pressures. And just because you're a Christian home doesn't mean that you're exempt from that. You remember the story the Lord gave, was it in Matthew 7? He talked about, and I know it's not dealing necessarily with the home, but he talked about a foolish man that built his house upon the sand. And then he talked about a wise man that he dug down deep and he built his house upon the rock. Now there's some good truths there about building homes and building relationships, and that is both individuals was going to face storms. It don't matter where you build your home at, whether you build it in the church and on the Word of God and on biblical principles, or you build it on carnal things by worldly philosophies, all homes are going to face storms. But my friend, we can navigate through it and we can get through it if we build our lives on the right foundation. Brother Mark, I believe we can face the pressures and the troubles of life as we go through it. And so the child-parent relationship is going to have issues. I don't care how biblical you try to be, there's going to be times you've got to work through pressures and troubles and issues and situations in life. This brings me to my next introductory thought that I want to give you this morning about the child-parent relationship in the home. Number one, no, there is no such thing as a perfect parent. All right, can I get a witness right there? There is no such thing as a perfect parent. You children need to understand there's no such thing. Now, my wife and my children call me Superman. Most days, I don't feel much more than Pee Wee Herman. Can I get a witness? All right? And so they say, well, he's Superman. But really, probably the truth be told, I'm the biggest failure as a father and a husband and home man as they would be in this building. But there is no such thing as a perfect parent. Many times children get frustrated. All they see is the flaws and the failures in their parents. But you got to keep in mind, there is no such thing as a perfect parent. Number two, there are no such thing as perfect children. Amen. You children, look at me with your God-given eyeballs. There are no such thing as perfect parents, but you're not perfect children either. Every child has flaws. Every child has issues. Every child has things that they struggle with, whether it be being drawn to some worldly thing that they ought not be, but it's in their heart and they're struggling with that. Maybe it's an attitude, a spirit. Maybe it's their relationship with God. But there are no such thing as perfect parents, and there are no such thing as perfect children. Parents have issues. They have problems. They have faults. They have failures. And children, guess what, have issues and problems and faults and failures and things that we all are trying to work through together. Here's the problem. This is what the devil wants to do. The devil wants us to get focused in on how that mom and dad is not perfect, or how that our children are not perfect. And in doing so, bringing the division into the home. And you remember what Jesus said, at a house divided against itself cannot stand. It's going to fall apart every time. And so when we come to Ephesians 6 and these verses that we've read this morning, I believe we have God's formula for the child-parent relationship. And I want to get into it this morning as brief as we can. I'd like to spend a lot of time on it. I want to try to give you everything I've got if the Lord will help us. Are you with me this morning? Say amen. Number one, I believe in this passage of Scripture we learn something about, in this relationship, we learn something about the ranks in the relationship. Something about the ranks. Notice what the Bible said. Verse number one, children, obey your parents. The Bible said in verse number two, speaking the same children, honor thy father and mother. The Bible speaks of the father in verse number four and instructing him not to provoke his children to wrath, but that this same father is to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. You say, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying that in this passage of Scripture, what you have deals with the ranks in the relationship. Now, our society has twisted what I'm about ready to give you, and they have got the cart before the horse. But God said in Ephesians 6, in His Word, the ranks in this relationship, that Brother Willie, children are in a subordinate rank. That is, they are the one that is answering. The parents in this passage of Scripture are to be in charge. They're in the authoritative rank. They're the boss. They're in charge. They're in control. They're to be leading the show. And the children are in the subordinate rank, meaning that the parents are to be leading and they're to be in charge, and the children are to be following, and according to the Word of God, they're to be obeying. And my friend, coming along behind mom and dad. And our society, we've twisted that. You just pick any time you want to go to Walmart, or run down to Kmart, or run down to Sears, or run down the Goodwill. And if they's a parent in there with the child, chances are that youngin's the one leading that parent. Amen. The child that's in the cereal aisle screaming because mama picked up Cheerios and they weren't Lucky Charms is evidence of a nation and a society that has twisted the rank, and now the children feel like they're in control. One of the things that God said to the nation of Israel through Isaiah, I believe it's in either Isaiah chapter number 8, I believe it's chapter number 8 if I'm not mistaken, but God said one of the judgments that I'm going to pass on your nation for forgetting me, one of the results of that, Brother Will, would be that they would be led about by women and by their children. There would be no men in charge anymore. That the children would begin to rise up and begin to tell mom and daddy what to do. Is that not our society? Amen. The ranks have been twisted. It's amazing, even if our independent, fundamental, King James Bible, believing, preaching, thumping churches, and we've got this thing twisted. Amen. My mom and daddy hardly ever asked me, when we was getting ready to go out, they hardly ever asked, what do you want to eat? They didn't care what I wanted to eat. They was in charge. Amen. If daddy wanted a Big Mac, we was going to McDonald's. If he wanted a Whopper, we was going to Burger King. Amen. And listen, daddy was in charge. Mama was in charge. That's the way that it's supposed to be. We've got a society that has twisted that and has made it, my friend, I mean, really defiled that. When you defile that, Brother Mark, when we turn that around, then we find the home begins to slide. Mamas and daddies are pulling their hair out. Amen. Children, my friend, are disturbed and tore up. By the way, children need structure. Children need the structure that is given in this passage, where there is a father and a mother, and they're leading their children and guiding their children and being the authority over their children. It's interesting. As I was reading, here's one of the reasons I think the Lord has it this way. It's interesting. Now, we know this when children are first born. It's real easy to tell them what to do, when to go to bed, what they're going to eat, what they're not going to eat, how they going to do, what they going to wear, what they're not going to wear, where they're going to go, where they're not going to go. Amen. When they're first born, 2, 3, 4, 5 years old, amen, that's real easy. And really, it's pretty easy if you do it right in the early stages. It's pretty easy up to, amen, about 12 years old. I have kidded around for many years saying that something happens the brain of a young person when the day they turn 13, they go in, they fall asleep the first night they're 13, and their brain oozes out of their ear and falls under the bed, and they don't get it back till they're 21. Is that right? It was right in my life. I'm not forgetting where I came from. It was right in my life. I was reading an article not long ago that actually confirms to a degree what I'm saying. I'm not saying that your brain fell out a year, amen, when you turn 13. But scientifically, they have proven that a teenager's brain, as they are developing into adulthood, that literally their brain is being rewired, that even their frontal lobe, which is the part of your brain where you reason and make decisions and make conscious effort, that at 13 it ain't even there. And so this thing of parenting, the child-parent relationship and the rank, it never ends. The parent is always the authority. The child is always the subordinate. And it's never more important. Listen, it's important when they're first born up to their teen years, because they don't have the strength and the ability to look out for themselves. But it's even more important in the teen years that we provide the proper authority and place the right rank in place so that they don't harm themselves. That's why a lot of young people, you see them jumping these big long bridges and bungee jumping and skydiving, is because their frontal lobe ain't developed and they can't think for themselves. Is that right? Brother Jerry ain't jumping out of no plane today. Is that right? You know why? He's got a frontal lobe. Somebody say amen. All right? And so this rank, God has put it in place. Children are in the subordinate. They're to be following. Parents are in the authoritative rank, providing leadership, not dictatorship, but leadership that leads and guides and directs and sets. Remember our verse, Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go. You remember Jesus spoke about the way. He said there is a broad way and there's a narrow way. And parents are to be leading and training in such a way and providing that authoritative rank according to the love and the law of Christ, that they can lead their children in the way, the right way, setting up parameters, setting up a path that's going to lead their children in the way, God's way, the way that they should go. Now, let me say a word about this. This is really where I want to get to, and I'm spending way too much time on this other stuff. The responsibilities in the relationship. Not only the ranks, we see the children, the parent, the subordinate, authoritative ranks. But what are the specific responsibilities in the relationship? Well, let's deal with you children first. Notice the responsibilities of children. Now, here's where all the young people ain't going to like preacher very much, but just hear me out. You do believe the Bible's the Word of God, do you not, Riley? You believe the Bible's the Word of God, Jesse? So we're going to listen to what God said. Here's what He said. Number one, first and foremost responsibility is, children, obey your parents. Obey your parents. Is that what it said? I didn't add nothing to it, Brother Will. I didn't take anything away from it. Children, obey your parents. And so the first responsibility of children is to obey. Listen to this definition. The word obey means to hear under. It means to listen attentively. Lucas, that means when Brother Mark is speaking to you and instructing you on what to do, you're not to be looking at the butterflies. You're not to be looking at the lawnmower across the road. You're not to be looking at the pretty girls. You're to be listening to what Dad says, hanging on to every word, listening attentively. Oftentimes, we have to sit our children down and say, I need you to listen to me. I need you to listen to me. You're hearing what I'm saying, but you're not listening. There's a difference in hearing and listening. And children need, if they're going to obey, they've got to learn to listen attentively. The word obey, it goes on to mean, to listen to this, to heed or conform to an authority or command. To obey means that you heed or conform to an authority or a command. Now, here's what our society has lied to y'all about. Lydia, they've lied to you about it and said, you be your own boss. Don't let mom and dad tell you what to do. Well, God said, they're the authority, you're the subordinate, and Riley, it's your job to heed and conform to the authority and the command of God. Now, we'll get to parents in a moment, and we'll deal with that part of this relationship. Right now, I'm dealing with you, Hunter, and that is, you've got to learn how to heed yourself and conform yourself to what mother and father is trying to teach you. And so, obedience. How important and significant is obedience? Would you look at a few other verses with me? Hold your place there and go to Romans chapter number 1. Romans chapter number 1. If you're with me, say amen. I hope this is making sense. I wish some of y'all parents would back me up a little bit more, a little louder anyway. Romans chapter number 1. Now, you know Romans chapter 1. Brother Adam, it's dealing with a very wicked generation. In fact, he's going to go through there and he's going to deal with people that believe in evolution, people that have magnified creation above the Creator, and he's going to deal with homosexuals, he's going to deal with adulterers, he's going to deal with people that live very lascivious lives. Notice what the Bible said in verse number 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Listen to this list of things. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. It's amazing as you read that list and all that he's dealing with, murders and debates and deceit and being deceived and all these wicked things, that right in the middle of it, but Tony, God said, and disobedient to parents. It's the evidence of a reprobate mind. He's dealing with a reprobate mind. Those that God gives over to live any old way they want to. God said there's a deep spiritual problem with a young person who is disobedient to parents. Disobedience, the Bible said, at disobedience, rebellion, which is disobedience, the sin of disobedience, the root and fruit of disobedience is rebellion. And that is, in the Old Testament, rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft. Rebellion, disobedience, is not a light thing. Disobedience, according to Romans chapter number 1, puts you in a classification with sodomites and murderers and people that are proud and boasters, inventors of evil things, and this whole list of things. Right smack dab in it, God said, oh yeah, that crowd that mom and dad is in the same boat, they've got deep spiritual problems. In 2 Timothy 3, we're going to look there, we'll not take the time. 2 Timothy chapter 3, the Bible said in verse 1, this know also in the last days, perilous times shall come. And but then we could go over and read it and give that long list of things. But right before unholy and unthankful, Paul said in the last days, when things get out of hand, there's going to be a rise of children who are disobedient to parents. And I want to say this morning, I believe we're living in that day. We're living in the day, Brother Charlie, where there are children who are disobedient to parents. And it's evidence that you are caving in. Not only do you have deep spiritual problems, but when you disobey mom and dad, it is showing that you're living out the prophecies of the last days, that children are not going to listen to mom and dad. Now, once you go to back to our text verse in Ephesians 6, and let me say this about this obedience to parents. The Bible said, children, obey your parents in the Lord. Now, there are philosophies that run around in the realms of religion and Christendom that say, now children only have to obey as it relates to spiritual matters. This is not true. When Paul said, children, obey your parents in the Lord, that means you're in the Lord. Amen. You're saved. You are to obey your parents as you would the Lord. Now let me give you another verse and I'll clarify what I'm saying. Notice with me in Colossians chapter number 3 and in verse number 20. Everybody turn there, you children especially. I want you to see this. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. That means if you're saved, you obey mom and dad like you do the Lord. Now, are you free? If it's not something spiritual, are you free to do anything you want? What's this verse? Colossians 3 and in verse number 20. The Bible said, children, obey your parents. What are the next three words? In all things. So, but I don't like this, Aaron. It's not sin, preacher, but Paul said, children, obey your parents in the Lord. Obey them like you would the Lord, and you do so in all things. Now here's what, here's what the liberal children say. Preacher, are you saying if my daddy asked me to kill somebody, I got to obey him? Has any of y'all had a daddy that's asked you to kill somebody? Raise your hand. Raise your hand. Has anybody, any grown folk ever had it? Ain't it funny to justify our petty little thing we want to do? We go grab some extreme example, amen, and something exaggerated. Paul said, obey them in all things. Now listen, we're going to deal with parents. I don't know if we're going to get to them this morning because I'm running out of time. I may have to just bring y'all back in here on next Sunday morning again and pick up where we're leaving off. I'd rather be thorough and everybody understand. Children, what are you to obey your parents in? All, come on now, all things. What is it, Sammy? All things. All things. Everything mom and daddy says to do, you obey them in the Lord. As you are saved, obey them in the Lord in all things. Why? Because this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. It pleases the Lord when children obey mom and dad. Amen, amen, and amen. And that's as true. That's as true of a 2-year-old as it is a 12-year-old, as it is a 16-year-old, as it is an 18-year-old, as it is a child that's older than that that's in their parents' home still. In all things. You are not out of the subordinate role until God cuts you loose and lets you be on your own. Amen. And by the way, we don't believe in this patriarchal rule, and they call it patriarchal authority that's being taught in some circles, Willie, and that simply means daddy has control over your life till he dies. That's heresy and has nothing to do with the Word of God. But as long as the Ledbetter children are under the Ledbetter roof, they are going to be the subordinate, and mom and daddy's going to be the authority. You don't like the rules, you don't want to follow the rules, get your butt out the house and go make your own way. Is that right? Amen. In all things. Now that's not to say, listen, I don't parent Julie, who is 5 and not listening, the same way 6 and still not listening, and Tori that's 14. There are stages as they get older and as you nail things down. We as parents ought to be given some liberty and be given some, amen, some areas where they're beginning to come into adulthood and make decisions for themselves. But at the end of the day, if there's something in Tori's life at 14 or 18 or 27 and I still ain't let her get married, somebody say amen right there. Amen. If there's something not right, we're going to say something about it, and it's her job, it's her responsibility to fall in line and to listen and to be led by mom and dad. Amen, amen, and amen. Well, if y'all still love me, smile at me. Amen. Okay, that's all but 2. Responsibilities of children. Amen. Obey your parents in all things. Let me say this. I may just end right here. Go back to our text, Ephesians 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Paul said, Colossians 3:20, in all things, for this is well-pleasing the Lord. Notice how verse number 1 ends. Brother Gerald, confirm this to me. Does it end, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right? The word right means good. And it means to be filled with character. children who have no character don't obey mom and dad. If you got a disobedient child, it is evidence of a lack of character. The word right means to have character. Lucas, when you don't obey mom and dad, what you're really evidencing is you got no character. They say, well, you ought to trust me, trust me. All these young people are coming up in our day, and it come out of this hippie movement junk, and it come out of this, amen, y'all don't get mad at me. Amen, this bunch of Dr. Spock mentality who raised a heathen. Trust your children. Well, you can't trust somebody who won't obey because they ain't got character. Children with no character, you don't trust them. And it's funny, as children get, and it was the same with me. I thought, man, mom and dad don't trust me. At 16 year old, they won't, amen, if they did let me go out with a buddy on a weeknight or a weekend, it didn't matter. If they let me go out at all to play ball or to run down and get a fishing pole or a fishing lure, amen, they'd say, now you be back in an hour. And I used to think in my heart, well, they just don't trust me. You know why they didn't trust me? Because I didn't have no character. I wasn't trustworthy. Amen. That's why you ought not let your children be involved in the dating game. Will I trust them? I'm telling you today, you ought not trust them. Don't forget their frontal lobe, the whole front part of their brain. They ain't even got a front part of the brain. Let 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18-year-olds run out and date unchaperoned, unwatched. You're crazy. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, ain't we having a time? Obey, obedience. Y'all want another one? I can't. It's 10:24 on my clock. Obey. Children, obey your parents. It's right. It just shows you got good character. And Sammy at 11. Man, my youngins are growing fast. 11 years old. If you'll obey mom and daddy, guess what? It shows you got a little character. And they can let up just a little bit. They can give you a little more freedom. If you'd obey John and clean your room every morning like your mom and daddy tells you to, it shows you got character, and mom and daddy can trust you with other things. Amen. Listen, this whole thing, the dating thing and the going out thing and the just letting your children run off into the world, listen, you can do that as they prove they've got character. But if they can't even keep their room clean and you told them clean the room and wash the dishes and take the trash out and they still struggling with that, trust me, they've got no character and you can't trust them to be out of your sight. Woo, hallelujah. That's pretty good preaching, ain't it? Amen. Brother Tim will not be teaching next Sunday. I'll be back in here and I'll finish this up. We might be here, the way some of y'all are looking, we might be here for a while. I love these children. Ain't one of these children I don't love. I'm doing the best I can, invest myself in them, pour myself into them. And by the way, guess what? Next week we're going to get on the parents. And y'all can say amen. Look at Caroline. She's over. I seen that. That's just the right way to do it. Now look up, look this way. I'm going to tell you something this morning. I ain't a perfect parent. You can ask my children. I've got faults and failures, things even during revival. I got them on this altar and had to apologize to them for, because of failures in my life as their father. And we're not perfect parents. We're not teaching to be a perfect parent. And we're not teaching perfect children. And I'll deal with some of that on next week. But I believe the Bible does have the guideline and does have the path set that we can do it in the most biblical way. And we can make it when the storms come if we're founded on the Word of God and on the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, thank you this morning for the Word of the Lord. Thank you for these folk and their listening to us this morning, their attentiveness. Thank you for these young folk Lord, we do love them, and Lord, we want to see them turn out for the Lord. We want to see them do right. We want to see them, Lord, be all that they can be for God, for their mom and dad, for this church. Lord, we want to see them, Lord, be successful. Lord, not just in the things of God, but Lord, in life in general. Lord, we want them to go a long way. Lord, we believe your word has the answers, and I pray, Lord, we know that in this generation, this society, there's such a pull, and Lord, there's such a such pressure, Lord, against some of the things we've even taught this morning. Father, I pray that you would work and that you would help, and Lord, that you'd lead and guide their lives as, Lord, they come along in life. May, Lord, each of them submit themselves to the authority of the Word of God and fall in line, Lord, where they're supposed to be, where you've said they're to be. And then, Lord, I pray for us as parents, would you help us, Lord, to fulfill our responsibility, Lord, to them. Lord, may we work together, and Lord, may we navigate through this thing called life, Lord, as families, Lord, in unity, Lord, trying to find out how to do it without making too big of mistakes. And Lord, we'll give you the glory and the honor for all that you do. Bless now, Lord, we pray. In the morning worship hour, I pray that you'd help us touch the choir as they sing. Lord, may your hand and your touch be upon this service. And Lord, for all that you do, we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right, let's take about 5 minutes, 6 minutes maybe, fellowship, and then we'll get the choir up and we'll have morning service. Love you now.